Curveball on the outside corner. Called strike three. Seth Lugo, masterful on this Mother's Day. A career high 12 strikeouts in a season high 8 innings.
An outstanding day for Seth Lugo and the Kansas City Royals on Sunday. They win over the Angels by a final of 4-2 as Lugo gave up just one earned run over 8 innings, struck out 12, again 5 hits that he gave up, and Lugo getting the win, moving to 6-1. The Royals again winning 3 out of 4 from the Angels. We'll have more on that coming up here on the Sports Ticket on Kitty Country 94. A lot to get to today as we'll hear from Nick Lynn, who retired from his positions as a girls basketball coach and girls volleyball coach there at Smith Center, as well as teaching. So Nick Lynn has retired, and we played an interview with him on Friday after our sports cast. But for those that maybe hadn't seen it over the weekend online or listened to it on Friday, we are going to replay that interview here this morning. So be listening for that here once we round out and get done with the rest of the local sports notes. Again, welcome into the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kieber Brothers Automotive in Beloit. They're your home team for fast and friendly auto repair. The high school spring sports season is rolling on. We'll touch upon regional golf and regional softball here today. Also, an area athlete has won an American Athletic Conference championship yet again. The NBA playoffs and NBA lottery from over the weekend, the NHL playoffs, and the Kansas City Chiefs know who their season opener will be against. And we'll talk about that coming up here on the Sports Ticket as well. First, let's get into high school sports here, where regional golf is taking place today and actually underway in some places already, which would be the case in Class 1A out of Atwood, as the 1A regional there is going on and teed off at 8:30 this morning. And just into the 1A regional there. And they do have some of the results already posted. You go to Kasia.org, or you can actually go to nckssports.com, click on the regional golf assignments, and then click on some spots. Some of these regionals will have a link that says scores, and just click on that, and you'll be able to follow along throughout the day as long as they update those. Again, the 1A regional at Atwood, Osborne is competing there. Looking forward to seeing how the Bulldogs can fare there in Class 1A. And then also the 3A regional in Norton, as Beloit is competing at that one from the area. Just underway here at 9 o'clock this morning. And also just underway at 9 o'clock, 2A at Hill City, where Smith Center is competing in that regional. So, again, those are the tournaments that are going on here today for area athletes. Some of this has been pushed back to tomorrow for some of the area. But as of now, all the area athletes are competing today from the immediate area that we would have with athletes out here in regional golf. Again, looking to qualify for the state tournaments, which will be held next week. State golf is a 2-day event. And so these golfers today are looking to get out to the state tournament. 1A will be in Heston next Monday and Tuesday. 2A will be in Dodge City next Monday and Tuesday. Class 3A will be at Emporia. If you're wondering why I haven't talked about Sand Greens yet, because Sand Greens doesn't have regionals. All you got to do is shoot a 95 or better throughout the season, and you qualify for state individually. And then there's certain scores that teams need. The Sand Greens Championship, by the way, will be in Tipton coming up. That would be next Monday. So that's just a one-day event in the Sand Greens Championship on Monday in Tipton. So, again, no Sand Greens regionals. They used to have regionals, but I think the numbers went down, and then the scores kind of got a little bit higher, and it's like, let's just do a qualifying score, and we'll have a state meet. And that's the decision that was made. I can't remember how many years that's been going like that now, but I'd say it's longer than I think. It's probably at least 5 years. But, again, the Sand Greens just a state tournament. But regional golf going on today, 1A, 2A, and 3A. 4A, Concordia is competing, but they're actually theirs has been postponed to tomorrow. So we will keep track of all that. Class 3A, Beloit at Norton again. It's been a good year for Jennings Sloan there for Beloit. He's been one of them that have been toward the top of the standings for Beloit at times. Luke Cheney as well. So we'll see if the Trojans can have some success out at Norton today. Smith Center in Class 2A. We'll be keeping an eye on them as well. At the Hill City Regional that got underway here at 9 o'clock this morning. Kind of looking at Smith Center and some of their top golfers. I'm just trying to look here. at who they've got entered. Dylan Tissell's had a decent season for Smith Center. He's probably the one that we're definitely looking at individually for Smith Center to have a chance to qualify for state, and we'll see how the team does there in that one today. And then again, 1A regional at Atwood. Osborne is competing there. Dawson Lance has had a pretty good season for the Bulldogs here on the golf course. So we'll keep a look at all of the Osborne golfers. Clay Guttery's out there, as well as Hudson Walters. Cassie Kaser competing out there today. I'm trying to make sure I don't leave anybody out. It looks like those are the four that are competing for Osborne, and it is at the 1A regional in Atwood today. So, again, golf regionals underway for 1A Osborne at Atwood-Rawlins County, for 2A Smith Center's at Hill City, and for 3A Beloit is at Norton. Hopefully by the 5 o'clock sportscast today, we'll be able to tell you who we got qualified for state and what will be coming up next for them. Also, today, regional softball getting underway for Beloit and Sylvan Lucas. And the Beloit Lady Trojans have the number 3 seed. A little bit like baseball, they've been relegated to be on the road, even though they're a high seed here. They're in a neutral game, though. It's not a technical road game for the Beloit Trojans today in softball, as they have a neutral contest at Hoisington at the North Field. That'll be around 5:30 this evening for the Lady Trojans once they actually take the field. The first round matchup for Beloit will be against Plainville Stockton. Beloit is 16-7. Plainville Stockton coming in at 6-12. It'll be a 4 o'clock start time. I was thinking of Sylvan Lucas in my head with that 5:30. It's about a 4 o'clock start here today for Beloit. And in the 3-6 matchup, and then following that will be the 2-seed Hoisington Central Plains against 7-seed Smoky Valley. Hoisington Central Plains 18-6. Then on the top side of the bracket at 4 o'clock, the Hoisington Southfield, Minneapolis, the number 4-seed against 5th-seed Ellsworth. Southeast Saline has the top seed at 19-3. They'll take on number 8-seed Russell, who has just 1 win this season, and that'll be 25 minutes after the 4 o'clock game there on the Hoisington Southfield. Again here today in 3A regional softball. Lady Trojans have had a solid season against 16-7 going into this regional tournament. So, again, we hope to be able to tell you a little bit about Beloit and have some good news for them tomorrow. The winners move on to the semifinals and finals, which will take place tomorrow in Hoisington. Again, Beloit and Plainville Stockton on the schedule here today. Has been some rain, so I'm constantly checking my phone to make sure these emails that come in aren't something about like a postponement or anything like that. Most of the rain has been kind of contained to this area and then moving east as well. It looked this morning like it was pretty clean out west to be able to do golf today anyway, and we'll see how softball goes as well. In Class 2-1A, the Sylvan Lucas Lady Mustangs. Sylvan Lucas is actually the host for the semis and finals coming up tomorrow. They're in Sylvan Grove, but today at 5:30, Sylvan Lucas will be at Hayes. Sylvan Lucas is 6-14. TMP is 18-8. TMP, the three seed. Sylvan Lucas, the 6 seed. Also today at 5:30, Ellis, the number 2 seed, hosting 7 seed Ellenwood. Elsaline's the number 1 seed at home against 8 seed Sacred Heart at 5:30 this evening. And also at 4:30 this afternoon, Little River, the number 4 seed, will take on number 5 seed Bennington in Little River. In that 2-1A softball regional, again, Sylvan Lucas, Sylvan Grove Fairgrounds will be the site for the semis and finals tomorrow. But first round games for at least this regional are actually at the higher seeds. So that's what's going on today in regional golf. Best of luck to all the area teams competing today. Regional softball. But again, best of luck to all the area teams competing today. Regional softball and regional golf. Here, and then baseball will pick back up tomorrow for any teams that are left. Again, the immediate area teams really that we cover with Beloit and Sylvan Lucas Lincoln are both eliminated in the first round of regionals on Thursday last week, so their seasons have come to a close. So for all the latest there, visit ncksports.com. You'll be able to find the brackets for softball and baseball, and also the golf assignments for the regionals coming up here today. All right, before we get to Nick Lynn, one other regional or local note, I should say. The AAC Track and Field Championship, American Athletic Conference at UTSA in San Antonio this weekend. And yesterday, Beloit native, St. John's graduate Brady Pollen took home another championship. He won the indoor high jump championship earlier this spring, in track and field. And yesterday, he took the outdoor high jump championship for the American Athletic Conference there in San Antonio for Wichita State. He cleared 7.25 on his first attempt to wrap up the championship. It is his first AAC outdoor championship, again, getting the sweep of the indoor and outdoor high jump championships in the American Athletic Conference. And it is his seventh all-conference honor that he earned on Sunday with that jump. And what a season it's been for Brady Paulin there for Wichita State. He's constantly being named the athlete of the week or the field athlete of the week by the American Athletic Conference. I've lost track without actually looking at the website and all that to remember actually how many he's won. But there was a time there where I was asking if he was going to let anybody else win field athlete of the week there. In the American Athletic Conference is actually a very good weekend for all the high for a lot of high jumpers from the state of Kansas, as three Kansas high jumpers took home conference championships. I want to pull up the post that I saw on that, and hopefully I'll be able to find it here. I think Brady's dad might have shared that. That might be my quickest route to finding it. But yeah, here we go. Kansas high jump sweep, three small school Kansans, three of the very best in the country, actually, and they competed in 2A and 1A in high school. Tyus Wilson of Sterling from Nebraska won the Big Ten indoor and outdoor high jump both. He won the outdoor at 7'6". Devin Loudermilk of KU and West Elk High School also won the indoor and outdoor in the Big 12 at 7'4¼". And Brady Paulin winning both the indoor and outdoor high jump in the American Athletic Conference against 7'2¼" there on Sunday in San Antonio. So that's very, very impressive. We've been tracking, Tyus Wilson is a name that we've tracked for a long time. Also, Devin Loudermilk, who's the younger brother of Isaiah Loudermilk, who played for the Steelers in the NFL from West Elk, went to Wisconsin and played D1 ball. And then Isaiah's a heck of an athlete as well, following in his brother's footsteps and had an outstanding season. Again, at 7'4¼", winning the Big 12 high jump there this weekend. And then, again, Brady Paulin. We've always tracked Brady here at KD Country 94 and Z96.3 through the lake because he is a local. He's from Beloit, again, a St. John's grad, and doing a lot of great things there, and has his entire career at Wichita State as a senior here this year. We'll see what Brady does moving forward, nationals and things of that nature. He did try to hit the automatic qualifying for Olympic trials mark, but he just missed on that. So still a great weekend, though, for Brady. And a championship at 7'2¼" in the AAC Outdoor Championships in San Antonio in the high jump. All right, again, for all the latest in local high school sports, you can visit nckssports.com. And right now you can read about Nick Lynn, who retired after 35 seasons with the Lady Red as the head coach of the volleyball and basketball teams there. He was also a teacher for those years at Smith Center. It was fun to have a conversation with Nick, and I'm going to play that here in a little bit, but actually, I'm gonna give you the numbers. I'm gonna play the interview, and then I'm gonna tell you a little bit more about Nick Lynn. And they had a celebration for him on Friday there in Smith Center that I was able to attend. I want to just say a little bit about that as well. But after 35 seasons leading the Smith Center Lady Red volleyball and basketball programs, Nick Lynn announcing his retirement from coaching and teaching with USD 237. He came to Smith Center in 1989 after coaching three seasons of high school sports there. Girls basketball and volleyball at St. Xavier in Junction City, as again the Lady Red coach over a 35-year stretch combined to win 1,537 games/matches compared to just 572 losses, converting to a winning percentage of just under 73% during his time in volleyball and basketball at Smith Center. State level was more success as far as sustained success in the volleyball ranks, qualifying for the state tournament 18 of 35 seasons, 10 of the past 11. His overall record in volleyball, 1,043 and 349. He did tell me that he's tied for third all-time in volleyball wins in the state of Kansas. So another note there, Smith Center also brought home eight state trophies in that time. The pinnacle of the 2A state title in 2021, Lady Red went went 43-2 and picked up a straight set win over Hillsborough for the championship. From 2020 to 22, the Lady Red made it to the state championship three straight times, finishing second to Heritage Christian in 2020 and second to Hillsborough in a rematch in 2022 after beating them in 21. This past season, the Lady Red went 39-6. They finished third in 2A, bringing home the third-place trophy as well in 1999, 2003, 2011, and 2018 for Smith Center. On the basketball court, Lynn's teams compiled the record of 494 and 223. They made it to the state tournament six times, bringing home five trophies. A run from 1999 to 2002 saw the Lady Red in the 3A state title game three times. They finished as runner-up in 99, 2000, and 2002, but they broke through on the hardwood with a 2A state title in 2013 and the 63-55 win over Jefferson County North. The list of accomplishments for in the 35-year career for Nick Lynn, it's impossible to compile here as I talk about it or in a story that I posted at NCCastSports.com. And he had multiple athletes that went on to play at the collegiate level. Two of them that you can think of that were D1 basketball players. Dana Finch played at Creighton from 2000 to 2004. And after a couple seasons at Hutchinson Community College, Sidney Benoit played two seasons at Kansas there in the late 2000s. Actually, it would have been in the mid-2000s, 2010s, I should say, for Sidney Benoit. So, again, a couple D1 athletes, but he had countless other female athletes that played at the NCAA Division II, NJCAA, NAIA. He's got more going to the NAIA right now, or NCAA Division II, NJCAA. I mean, there's a long list of athletes that Nick Lynn has impacted and helped to success, not only, I'd say, in their athletic careers, but in their lives. And you can see that. It's not hard from the outside looking in of what the impact was that Nick Lynn had on Smith Center athletics. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that coming up after we play this interview. But if you missed it on Friday, we had it after our sports cast and we've had it online. But I figure this is an opportunity for people to hear it again here on the Sports Ticket. Nick Lynn retiring as the head volleyball and basketball coach and a teacher at Smith Center. And it was a joy to chat with him one last time. And here's that interview on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country at 94. Enjoy this. And welcome back here on Katy Country 94, a Sports Ticket special, as we're joined by Nick Lynn, the Smith Center Lady Red coach for the past 35 seasons. And Nick has officially announced his retirement as the coach and teaching and everything like that. So first of all, Nick, thanks for taking a little time to chat with us about your career. You know, I just want to get this first part out of the way first, and then we'll talk about your time at Smith Center, because it was a great career that you did have. But as you look at it right now, why did you feel like now would be the good time to step away and now enjoy your retirement?
Yeah, based on kind of how things have gone the last year or two with, you know, physically, it's just harder to get the energy needed to keep a program running. You know, this past year has been kind of tough because I don't have that energy I used to have. I have the love for it. I still have that, and the kids are awesome. But I don't know if I keep going, I'm not sure I'm doing justice. And it's like, then on top of that, and even more important than that, I've got grandkids that are just really wanting me to, you know, spend some time with them, and that's what I want to do. And so I think, to me, the timing is kind of good. I'm going to really miss everything about Smith Center, everything about the coaching and the teaching part of it. But as I think along, I think it's the right time.
35 seasons at Smith Center. You had three before that at Junction City and at St. Xavier there, coaching and right out of college at K-State there. So you've had 38 years of coaching experience. How hard is it to believe that you won't be picking up the whistle then next year? Have you even processed that part of it?
I'm trying to process that. It's been tough. You know, I spend time, like, in the evenings up there jogging sometimes, and I look in the hallways and I'm jogging, and I look on the walls and see some of the things we've accomplished, and at those points I wonder where time went, you know. And even at those times, as you keep going, you think you're going to do it forever. And as this season, this particular year came along, and it just came in really important for me to maybe think about quitting and moving on. It's hard to process that, like you mentioned. It's hard to realize that that's going to come to an end. But I've got a very supportive family, like I said, and I think this next step is going to be exciting and just as important, and I'm looking forward to it.
We got a chance to process now your career and what you've been able to accomplish over the last 35 years. Like you said, you see those trophies, you see everything in the halls and the success that you did have. 35 years in volleyball, you won 1,043 matches, you won 75% of your matches as a coach there, and 35 years at Smith Center, and then in basketball, you won 494 games and had a lot of success there. You've got a state championship in each one of those sports. I kind of want to focus on each sport individually, though, and you did coach track as well, but these team sports are where you had so much success. 18 state tournament appearances in volleyball in 10 of the last 11. You had 8 state trophies, including that state title in 2021. When you look back at the volleyball portion of your time there, how much did it take to build that program up and just an unreal run of success here of late?
Well, that's interesting, because when I first came to Smith Center, that really was the sport I wanted to get away from, mm-hmm. you know, and just do basketball. And again, just like in my St. Xavier days, the boys' basketball was not open, available. And even the girls just got taken by another teacher. And so what was available was volleyball, and I didn't take it reluctantly. I was happy to take it. And I was so glad I did, because over the years, that's the one sport that I felt more comfortable, to be honest. And, you know, we always say that, you know, volleyball is, it's not a sport that a lot of adults understand, mm-hmm. you know, and if you've been in a sport, you understand it, and the more you're in it, the more you understand it, but a lot of people don't. And when you talk about basketball, it's the other way around. You know, if you have 500 spectators, you have 501 coaches. You know, that mm-hmm. is. But volleyball has been really, really good to me, and Smith Center has been really good to me. And, you know, my wife and I, and my family, we moved here in 89, and not knowing what to expect. And I remember the first practice, I was looking at 30, we were middle 3A back then, and looking at 33 players who I knew none of them, you know, and didn't have an assistant in town yet. And so that group, no returning starters and top of things, but they worked really, really hard. You know, that was my only losing season as a coach in 38 years. You know, we came out and we had a terrible record. We were literally 5-20. But the good part about that is it was a really good starting point. We put in really good work ethic. Parents bought in. And by the time that year ended, the kids weren't eager to end the year. They were still excited. And we went in, knocked off the number one team in sub-state. We were the 8th seed. And that was a big thing for the whole season, as we went in and knocked off the best team, and then we almost won the semis against Phillipsburg. And after that, I think it was within 2 years, I think we maybe hit our state tournament. We had a really good record by the third year, mm-hmm. and from that point on, it was literally just getting through and understanding what it means to have a tradition and get going in that. So I've been lucky. You know, I've been lucky with the school here, with the support here, with the parents here, and the kids would never work as hard as they do here without the, you know, the parental push and, mm-hmm. and backing, and that's what I've had.
And then you shift, and that goes into basketball as well. You know, you made 6 state tournament appearances there, 5 state trophies. You had a run there in 99, 2000, and 2002 where you just couldn't quite get over that hump. You had 2 state second-place finishes, but you're able to get through in 2013 and win a state championship that year. Over the basketball time of how everything went, what stands out there?
To me, basketball has been – it's a little more – it's tougher to me as a coach to – make it to the state tournament. You know, we've had, when we do make it, we've done well, you know, and I think we've gone 6 times and we've been in the state finals 5 times, you know, but it's hard to get in that door in basketball, seems like, and a lot more coaches have put in time and effort into that sport more so, and it's tougher, whereas in volleyball, I think there's more rotation in coaches, and there's more coaches going in and out, and trying to reestablish things that way, it's not been as tough, But I've appreciated, you know, I like it. It's tougher for me. Basketball's 4 months during the school year, and it takes Thanksgiving and Christmas away from kids and coaches, but the buy-in never wavered. It's all the same, you know. The biggest thing that we've had since I moved here with the girls' program is the use of the weight room too. Because before I got here, they had the girls. It was taboo for the girls to even be in the weight room, and we started that going, and I think, you know, in terms of volleyball especially, we got a leg up on a lot of our competition because we were in the forefront of the weight room process, whereas a lot of teams weren't. And So we built that, and we've got some good coaches here that have put time in and built that, and still do. So I don't think it's going to be a program that's going to go south. I think it's going to be the effort's going to be there. They've got the good parental support, and as far as coaching is coaching. So it was all. The work is hard. The reward is great.
We're talking with Nick Lind, retiring after 35 years of coaching at Smith Center, 38 total. Coach, I know one of the things that's really stuck out to me about this conversation so far is that you talked about your kids and the buy-in that they had. And so I know that when I chat with you all the time, you always give credit to the girls that have done this and made your success at this level of high school volleyball or basketball or whatever it may be. And you've had a lot of talent run through these halls. Dana Finch played D1 ball at Creighton and Sydney, but Lloyd ended up at Kansas in D1. But the list goes on and on and on of college players, but those aren't the only ones that are helping you win, right? It's everybody as a team, and I know that most of the credit you're going to give to the girls that played on your teams, right?
If I could get them all back here for one more hug, I would do that, because there have been a lot of girls go through here, and I don't overlook that. I don't overlook all the time they put in. It's time. It's hard work. It's camps in the summer, and it's all that, and it's been complete buy-in, and I don't overlook any of that. And yeah, it is. It's mostly it's them, the parental support that has them work hard every day and continue to do it. Kids these days, it's harder. They do, a lot of them do their own thing now. And it's a little bit different, and so they have buy-in. It takes a lot of work, but. Honestly, here at Smith Center, it's been less work, because I think from day one, there's been buy-in with the tradition thing, and we've had coaches go through here, and especially in basketball, where they don't stay real long. They're great coaches, but they don't stay. And anytime you have that, I think it's tough. We've mentioned many times, and I have with other talk shows, where our basketball and volleyball programs have been consistent. Because we've had people, and my assistant Denise. Kattenberg, and we've been here for a long time. Mm-hmm. And before her, it was Heather Sass, and she was here for a long time. I've had no rotation in coaching staff, and that speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. And when you have kids, you have new coaches every third year. That makes it really tough.
Obviously, I had to create those relationships. When you moved here in 1989, did you ever think it would be 35 years at one place in Smith Center?
I was hoping for 2 years. after that first year, that was tough. And I'm sure people second-guessed, because I came off a state finals team at St. Xavier before I came here and left some really good athletes behind. But it was worth it. I mean, what we've been through here, and going through that first year, it made it easier, to get through that. And then the buy-in, honestly, and the kids' buy-in, and I haven't had to fight that. Mm-hmm. I went 35 years without fighting that, because it was young girls looking forward to playing in our programs. Then they get into our programs and they work hard. Then new young girls come in, and that's kind of how it's been. And it's gratifying.
Again, Nick Lind here, retiring as coach of Smith Center Lady Red, and volleyball and basketball and teaching too. But I'm sure you're sticking around. But with this platform right here, is there anything like some final parting shots from your coaching career, some final words that you would want to say to the community there in Smith Center?
I just think you got to stick with it, because like I said earlier, it's tough now. It's really, to get into the coaching profession now, teaching too, it's not the same. It just doesn't feel the same, and there's more turnover now, so you got to work twice as hard. You just got to keep plugging away. And I think if I had to say anything for future coaches that's coming in for basketball and volleyball in my programs, just continue the hard work and stick with it, and don't be a 1 or 2 year thing, and don't be getting into that cycle where it's not where it doesn't seem important. So that's what I would say. And if we can have that, I think it's going to continue hopefully for a long time.
Nick Lind, Smith Center Lady Red coach, retiring coach. We certainly appreciate all the time that you've given us over the last, however many years I've been chatting with you on the locker room chats, probably, 18 to 20. I've lost track, but we certainly appreciate all your time and wish you absolutely nothing but the best in your retirement. All right.
Well, you're a good guy. You've covered this for a lot of years, like you said, and we got a lot of people here that listen to you. And every time we do something here, you follow us and give us tapes of the games and stuff like that. And believe me, Dusty, we appreciate that. And And it's one of the things I'm going to miss a lot moving forward, not being able to be a part of that. But I want to thank you also.
Appreciate it, Coach. And enjoy the retirement. Walk out in the sunset, right?
All right. I appreciate that.
Yeah, Nick Lynn, the coach of the Smith Center Lady Red, retiring after 35 seasons. Welcome back in here on the live portion of the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94. Again, it's brought to you by Cuver Brothers Automotive in Beloit. I do want to touch real quick upon the back end of this on the Nick Lynn story, because it, you know, what I said there at the end, I don't remember exactly when we started doing locker room chats. I know when Wade moved here and we started kind of getting that in and doing coaches' interviews every week, and Smith Center was on the list. So during basketball season, I would talk with Coach Lynn every week, and then in that kind of developed into you know, being able to have some opportunities to cover the Lady Red, whether it be at state basketball or whether it be at state volleyball, and you know, it's been special for me to cover the Lady Red, and I, honestly, covering Smith Center's volleyball runs here over the past whatever, I haven't done every single one of those tournaments because there was some conflicting times when I couldn't be there, but I've done most of them, and just to see them at state volleyball and to cover that that caliber of volleyball, and to see the effort and work that went into making it to state 18 times out of 35 seasons and 10 of the last 11 years, that doesn't just come because of just talent alone. That comes because the coaches and the players and the assistant coaches, like Coach Lynn said, they all buy into what they're doing there. And they all put in the effort, the work in the summer to get themselves right and to get themselves in the shape and condition to be able to do that. For, you know, the year they won state, they went 43-2, so 45 matches or more throughout a season, maybe less, just depending on how many matches you get in. Most of the time, it does seem to be about 45, though, when you make it to state and then play those five matches if you can make it to the finals or the semifinals on Saturday. So, you know, just watching that and seeing the progress of that team and then finally seeing them win a state championship in 2021 was special for obviously everybody that was there. But, you know, I'm speaking of a broadcaster that actually got to call the matches and do the matches. You know, people ask me a lot, like, what's your favorite sport to call on the radio? And my quickest answer used to always be basketball, because it's quick moving and there's not a lot of delay and downtime. You know, I love calling football. Football is a lot easier if I have somebody with me as a color commentator, if Todd's next to me or whoever it might have been at any point during the past. But I used to always just say basketball was my favorite sport to cover. But once I kind of got into doing play-by-play for volleyball, I'll tell people that volleyball is actually my favorite sport to do play-by-play for, and it shocks them. They're kind of surprised about it. But it's the volleyball thing is so quick. It's moving so fast. Sometimes I get a little bit behind, but you know, and I think I've probably gotten the most comments about my volleyball play-by-play than any other ones. And that comes with covering a team that's outstanding and covering teams that make it to the state tournament, no matter who that team is from the area that I cover. But, you know, I've been mostly covering Smith Center over the past, you know, five or six seasons out of state volleyball. So it's been just unreal to see that program build and to see the effort that they put in year after year and to see the success that they have year after year and making it to the state volleyball championships. And man, when they won that state tournament, it was there was a lot of tears shed there of obvious joy and for all the time and effort that they had put in. You know, they made it to the state championship the year before losing to Heritage Christian, and then came back and beat Hillsborough in two sets, straight set win there. And you know, the year after that, they didn't even look like they were going to get win their pool there, and then came back against Inman to make it to the semifinals and had a good matchup that put themselves into the championship match against Hillsborough again, and unfortunately they fell there in 2022 in two sets to Hillsborough. But Hillsborough was just outstanding that year and you know, had everything it took to win a state championship. But when I look back at the time that I've had here, I've been here for, well, I've done 20 seasons of sports, 21. I can't do the math. I always forget to count that one year that's part of that. So I'm pretty sure I've done 21 seasons of sports. I came here in 2003, July of 2003, and started doing sports broadcasting here at Katy Country 94 and Z96 Point Through the Lake then. And so now we're at 2024, and again, 21 years into this thing. We're looking, and I've covered a lot of very, very good teams, and I've covered a lot of sports. I've covered, you know, over 1,500 games broadcast probably in my career. I don't have that number right in front of me. I actually do keep track of that, but I don't have it in front of me right now. But I'm going to tell you right now some of the most fond memories that I'm going to have whenever this is done for me. the most fond memories I'm going to have, and part of those will definitely include Smith Center Lady Red Volleyball. And that goes to the success that they had, but that also, for me, it comes back to Coach Lynn, because I had talked to him so much over the years with basketball locker room chats, and then anytime I'd need anything from Nick, it's a phone call or an email away, and boom, I'll have it. I mean, he's all about not only building that program and you know, getting his girls into positions to have a lot of success, not only on the court but also in life. I can tell that, and I'll tell you about that here in a second as well. But for me, it was very, very obvious that he wanted to let his girls get love too, like, you know, promote the program, talk about his players, talk about his girls, and that was very evident any time that I ever covered Smith Center sports, that Nick Lynn was going to be there as a champion for his teams and his girls and his athletes and his students. You know, I don't think it, you know, I don't know enough about what he did in the classroom, but I'm going to guess that his students feel the same way about him as his athletes did, even if they didn't play a sport with Coach Lynn. I can't, you know, guarantee that, but I have seen from the outside looking in the impact that he does have on the girls that play for him and in his program, and it is crazy to see. You know, I'm trying not to make this too long, but hey, Nick deserves the time. I'm just going to say that right now. I might run long on the show today, but Nick deserves the time. And for all the times that I've chatted with him, and one of the biggest memories that'll always stick out for me with Nick too is when they won that championship, Smith Center Volleyball, in 2021, they had a celebration up at Smith Center High School. I don't know, it was like probably 2-3 weeks after the state championship match. And so it's kind of basically, I think it was probably just tied into what they would always do for an awards night, right? And so they went in there and they did their normal stuff. You know, Nick was the leader of the pack, the MC, and reading off all the accomplishments and all the awards. You know, they had a highlight reel, and it was kind of cool. They had my voice on one of the cuts on the state championship cut when Talon Rentschler got the kill to win state, and so that was cool. I remember being there, and they, man, toward the middle of that thing, they played a video. And if you ever wondered if you've had an impact on somebody, I can't imagine what was going through Coach Lynn's mind when that video played, because there were videos, there were selfie videos, you know, recorded videos on a cell phone from players that have played for him in the past, whether it be volleyball or basketball or whatever it was. And there was one on there from the first season he ever had as a coach at Smith Center, congratulating him on winning a state championship. And it went all the way through until 2021 with girls that were congratulating him on his success and winning state championships. And I mean, there was not a lack. There was not a dead spot as far as eras or years or whatever it was. There were people from 1989 all the way to 2021 that congratulated him and took the time to record, you know, even if it was a 30-second or 60-second, a minute video, of what he meant to them and what he meant to Smith Center, what he meant to the program, what he meant to everybody that he was involved with coaching or whatever it may be. And so I'll just never forget that night, because that happened. And then it was kind of special to be part of that night, because when Coach was reading off all the awards that everybody had won, and I think Coach Kattenberg, you know, right there next to him, as she has been in basketball and volleyball for so many years. And it was so interesting to see that. And then they're reading off all the awards. And in the middle of the awards ceremony, I'm in the back because I showed up right as the thing was starting and I didn't want to interrupt anybody. And so I'm in the back of the auditorium at Smith Center, and my phone buzzed pretty early in the ceremony. And it was the Kansas Volleyball Association All-State teams being announced. And so it came in on my phone as KVA All-State, and Nick had said during his presentation that KVA will be coming out soon. And so I'm sitting in the back, and I'm like, I don't want to interrupt this thing, but this would be kind of cool if I can just tell him, hey, I sent it to Denise. I said, Denise, look on your phone. KVA is on your phone. It has been released. And I kind of wanted it to be released that night and be able to tell the audience there and everybody that was involved who had won awards. And it was a huge thing, because there was a lot of Smith Center on that All-State team, and Talon Rentschler was the 2A player of the year that year, and it was kind of cool for me to be able to relay that information and be there to make sure that they knew that, and it was announced that night. And here's another story of who Nick Lynn is. He has this list right in front of him. He reads off Talon was first team. I think Ashlyn Long was first team as well. And then I think Cam was on the all Cameron Hutchinson was on the All-State team, maybe third team honorable mention. I don't have that list right in front of me of who all made All-State that year. He reads all that and then does the little the grand finale drum roll. Please, Talon Rentschler is your 2A state player of the year in volleyball. What he failed to mention is that he himself was the coach of the year in 2A state volleyball, and he breezed right past that. Did not even mention it. I had to tell Denise, hey, he's coach of the year too. Make sure everybody knows that. And so that was a special night that I'll always remember because, you know, not purposely. It is kind of selfish for me that I remember because I had something to do with that KVA state part of it. But it was just kind of cool to be a part of all that and be able to say, hey, oh, by the way, here's the KVA All-State team, so y'all don't have to wait another day to find it and see it. And also, I was going to release it anyway later that night on the website, so they would have found out. But it was cool to be there that night and be a part of it. And, you know, those are the memories that I'll always have, and covering that team at state volleyball. You know, I didn't really ever get to cover them at state basketball because I was in different arenas and different places at the same time, but we definitely did cover them on the radio station at state basketball as well. And man, the time with Nick has been outstanding, and I know I've spent a lot of this show talking about Nick Lynn, but like I said, I feel like he deserves it. If you want to know the impact that he had on me, I wore a Smith Center Lady Red shirt up to his celebration on Friday, which, by the way, is another example. He told me that there were people that were up at that celebration at the New Covenant Church in Smith Center on Friday that were there was a girl that was part of his first team that was there. And he had people traveling from all over the place to celebrate him and to thank him for the career that he had. And he told me during our interview on Friday, he's like, hey, we're having a thing up here if you want to come up. And I was like, hey, you'll probably see me there, Nick. And he's like, I was just joking. And I'm like, I'm not. It was a no-brainer for me to go up there. And I have a Smith Center Lady Red shirt that I'll wear because they won state that year. And I was like, hey, get me a shirt because, you know, I was part of that from the broadcast side of things, and I wanted to remember it and have a token of that season. And I said on my Facebook post the other night, I said, if you want to know the impact Nick Lynn has had on me, he's gotten a Trigo grad to wear the colors of another Mid-Continent League school, which in and of itself is very difficult. There's still one school in the MCL that I'm not ever going to wear their shirt or colors. If you know me, you know who I'm talking about. But the impact that he's had on so many people, I mean, it's immeasurable. And it's going to be weird not talking with Nick Lynn every week. I'll just say that. And I think it's going to be weird for the coaches to, or the people of Smith Center, the community there, to not see him on the sideline coaching and on the bench coaching. But he's earned it. He's earned this time. He's earned his retirement. He's earned everything that he's gotten. And it is going to be interesting to see what Smith Center is moving forward. They are, from my understanding, his successors will be named tonight. I have an idea of who those people are going to be, but I'm not going to say that publicly yet because I don't even know if that's going to be official tonight or not. But anyway, once we know all that, we'll definitely follow up on it as well. But the story right now is Nick Lynn and his career. And again, from the bottom of my heart, I personally thank Nick for all of his help throughout the years and wish him nothing but the best in his retirement. So that's the Nick Lynn segment of the show. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we will talk about the Royals, the NBA playoffs, NBA draft, lottery, the NHL playoffs, and also the Chiefs know who they're playing in the first game of the season. It's all coming up here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Keeper Brothers Automotive in Beloit.
Does your vehicle have a leak, squeak, or rattle? Is there an annoying warning light shining at you from the dash? I'm Elijah at Keeper Brothers Automotive in Beloit. If you have an automotive issue, don't just live with it because you're afraid of what it might cost to get it fixed. We offer a 15-minute no-wrench inspection for free so you can get a professional opinion about your problem without spending a dime. Call or stop by today. We're happy to take a look at almost anything for free. That's Kiever Brothers Automotive, just south of the courthouse in Beloit, and online at KieferBrothers.com.
All right, back on the Sports Ticket here on Katy Country 94. As we talked about at the beginning of the show, the Royals picking up a nice win over the Angels on Sunday. Seth Lugo, an outstanding performance as he went 8 innings and had a career-high 12 strikeouts. The 8 innings was a season high for him. Gave up just one earned run on 5 hits and a 4-2 win for the Royals. They took 3 of 4 games in the end from the Angels. And this is Royals manager Matt Quatreau as he talked about Seth Lugo and the outstanding game that he had. You know, a lot of people talking at the beginning of the year like Cole Reagans might be a candidate for the Cy Young. Well, your Cy Young candidate right now for the Royals is Seth Lugo, and here's Matt Quatreau on his performance yesterday.
Incredible, just commanding the ball. You know, everything is right there, so they have to honor every pitch, and he changes it up so much and gets the weak contact early in the count, but to strike out 12 and only throw 110 or 112 pitches or whatever, that's really remarkable. And just the confidence that you have when he's out there, I mean, he just comes out and feels like he's in total control all the time.
It was kind of interesting to me that he went back out for the eighth inning because he was already approaching 100 pitches. I think he had 99 going into the eighth, and you know, Quatreau rode him and got him out in the eighth inning there. He got through eight, and the Royals win 4-2. So, again, great win for Kansas City. They scored all four of their runs in one inning there yesterday. Got all four of them in the fourth, and that lined up Lugo to improve to 6-1 on the season with that victory over the Angels. Look at the standings now. The Royals, with that win, are now 25-17, and believe it or not, they're half a game behind first place in the AL Central. The Cleveland Guardians are 25-16, 24-16 record for the Twins, who just by percentage points would be just ahead of the Royals. So the Royals technically are in third place right now, but at 25-17, they would be a wild card team right now if you want to dream big and think about this team maybe making the postseason. Again, 25-17 mark for the Royals, as they are in technically third place, half game behind, tied for second, you know, but they would be behind the Twins as far as the standings would be concerned if you broke it down into percentages. So they are on the road to start a three-game series. They stay out west, though, in Seattle tonight. The Mariners are 22-19, and that's their opponent. Mariners are actually in first place, the AL West, half game ahead of the 22-20 Rangers. The AL East leader is Baltimore at 26-13, just ahead of 27-15 New York. The Yankees in second place there in the AL East. NL East, Phillies are 28-13. Best record in baseball, I believe. Yep, that's the case. So Phillies are two games ahead of the Braves, who are 24-13. In the NL Central, the Brewers are 24-16, half game ahead of the 24-17 Cubs. The Dodgers, 27-15. In the NL West, are 5.5 ahead of the Padres in second at 22-21. So that's update on the Major League Baseball standings as we head into another week here today.
Lost the ball with a turnover, nice Denver D. Porter at the other end, and he tries and he gets it to go. Beating the clock. Cortland, that's intercepted. Murray, good at the goal.
It was a big-time three, but it was way more than a three. It was like 5, 6, maybe 7 feet past half court that he made the shot, and it was right in front of Kevin Harlan, too. It was funny to see the still and then the video as Murray got the steal and cashed a past half court shot right before halftime to put the Nuggets up 64-49. You can see Kevin Harlan calling the play, like basically screaming in Jamal Murray's face as Jamal Murray's like flexing in front of the TNT broadcast crew with Reggie Miller. You could hear Reggie Miller, obviously, in the background of that call as well. It's so funny to watch it, and it's those are the moments that have to be wild to be a broadcaster in those moments and part of that. You know, I've had somewhere, you know, I'm calling a game where I know I had I'll never forget when I was calling the state championship for the St. John's Tipton basketball team back in 2014, and I was reading off starters, and full disclosure, I had cousins that played on that team, so I knew all the kids. And, you know, it's a lot of those guys I actually consider friends to this day. But it was so funny because I was, like, getting ready to do my – I was reading off my starters, actually, in my pregame show, and they were doing the starting lineups on the – or they had actually just finished the starting lineups, and they're getting ready to go out on the court. And Connor Eilert, I see, has a fist out ready to fist bump me at the scorer's table. I'll never forget that, you know. But those are some of those things when you're that close to the action that you get to be a part of. And so there's a couple things. I got hit in the head by a volleyball one time at State. John, I know John was listening earlier, and he tweeted about that after it happened. I know he remembers that, but There's the, you can get live into the action when you're on the court is basically what I'm saying. And that three, that half court shot happened right in front of Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller. And so Jamal Murray's flexing and Kevin's just calling the game and screaming and excited about it. Not screaming, but, you know, loud and excited about it. I think Kevin's one of the best of keeping his excitement where it needs to be and where it needs to go in big moments like that and still captivate and keep everybody involved in the broadcast. I mean, the dude is one of the best to ever do it. There's no question about it. And even as a K-State fan, I can say that about a KU grad. Kevin Harlan's outstanding at what he does. And that was exciting. You could hear the call. It was exciting. And it was right in front of him where the shot took off. Now, the Nuggets pick up a win. Again, they went up 64-49 at halftime with that big shot from Jamal Murray. They won 115-107. And man, if you are a Timberwolves fan, you've got to feel sick to your stomach because you weren't able to get a win in Game 3. You won both games in Denver to go up 2-0. You're feeling good. You're going back home. You have a stranglehold on this series. You know, they always say the series hasn't started until a road team wins. You won both games on the road to start the series. And then you go back to Minnesota, and boom, the Nuggets take two games, and now we're right back where we started. 2-2 tie, basically 0-0, and you're going in. You need two wins to wrap this thing up. So the road team has won all four of the games here in this series, and there's a tweet out there that it's no player in NBA is as effective or blatant in stalling with a lead than Nikola Jokic. He does this by delaying the ref's five-second count, fumbling the ball or passing it to the ref, and then rolling it to his teammate. They say he wasted almost a minute of game clock in the fourth quarter, and there's videos of what he's doing there. And, hey, this is legal. It's something that obviously loopholes take advantage of them, right? And in the fourth quarter, the Timberwolves had 1 minute less of play, basically, because Nikola Jokic was heady and smart and knows that, hey, I don't have to, I got time to pick this thing up before he starts the count, and then I've got time to pick it up before the count ends, and then I can just throw it in and it's in play rolling, and the shot clock does not start until all that process is finished. And it's very interesting to see that, and it's very interesting to, Wade tagged me in that earlier today. It is funny to watch it, but it's not, it is. It's like Wade said here on the tweet that he sent out, little things go a long way, and they absolutely do. He's, Nikola Jokic is one of the best at it. It's so watching him, like, he does not look the manner in which he carries himself, just, you know, that's a three. If you were just started watching basketball and you watch this guy, you're like, that's a three-time MVP in the NBA. Obviously, there's debate about whether he should have won it this year, apparently, from a lot of people. But it is funny to see that in the way he plays. But, man, he's been efficient and was efficient in the win last night. Jokic led the way for the Nuggets with 35. And again, they even the series at two apiece. Anthony Edwards continues to play very, very well, though. It'll be interesting to see what's going to happen here when this series goes back to Denver, which that will happen on Tuesday in Denver at 9:30. The Nuggets and the Timberwolves. Anthony Edwards, despite a loss, dropped 44 again yesterday for the Timberwolves. Now, the Pacers went into their series going home. 2-0 advantage for the Knicks, and the Pacers picked up a 111-106 win on Friday night to get within 2-1. And then yesterday, they jumped out to a 34-14 lead after the first quarter and absolutely never looked back. 121-89 the final as the Pacers get the win and tie the series at 2 in the East as well. So both of those game pours were won by the team that was down in the series. The Nuggets were the road team. The Pacers were the home team, 121-89. It was a balanced effort from the Spurs there. Or the Spurs. That's why my mind goes to my favorite team, apparently. A balanced effort for the Pacers as they got 20 from Tyrese Halliburton to lead the way in that victory for Indiana. Again, a 2-2 tie. NBA playoffs continue tonight as the Celtics and Cavaliers meet in Cleveland. Boston leads that series 2-1. 6 o'clock start on TNT, and then at 8:30 on TNT, the Mavericks are leading the Thunder 2-1, and Game 4 is in Dallas at 8:30. Here tonight. So the Thunder, number one seed, I think they're in a situation where you probably want to get that win because you've lost home court advantage and now you're trying to gain it back. You got to win one of these in Dallas, and this is your opportunity after you lost the game on Friday, I believe it was. But anyway, you lost the last opportunity to get in there. Actually, it would have been on Saturday. The Mavericks won 105 to 101. So Luka Doncic had 22 and 15 rebounds. But again, this is the one you got to win if you're the Thunder. I don't say you got to, but it's. I never say must win because you'd only be down 3-1, and there have been teams that come back from 3-1 deficits. But boy, you'd love to win this one if you're the Thunder for sure. And obviously, Cleveland's in the same boat. And now I'm gonna say the Cleveland. I'm gonna say Boston wins tonight, and Oklahoma City wins tonight. So I've not been very good at picking these though because I figured Minnesota would win at least one of those games at home, and they lost both of them to Denver. So that's an update on the NBA playoffs. Also, the NBA draft lottery. As we give an update on that, that was yesterday afternoon. My cousin was texting me, what if the Spurs won the number one pick and ended up with Alexander Sarr from France along with Wimby? They'd be unstoppable. And I'm like, well, first of all, Sarr's a center, too. He's 7'1", whatever he is. And I'm like, I don't know if that would actually fit for the Spurs. But I said, that'd be wild, but I don't think the Spurs are going to – I don't think the NBA is going to let the Spurs get the number one pick again. I say let. I don't – it's – listen – I'm going to sit here and say that it's rigged, but I don't think they're trying to let the same team get a number one pick 2 years in a row. I'm just saying, if we need to figure out a way that they're not going to be the number one pick again, let's try to do that. The Spurs are actually sitting in pretty decent position. They did not get the number one pick. The Atlanta Hawks, despite a 36-46 record and a 3% chance to get the number one pick, actually got the number one pick. So, again, the Hawks are at the top of the list there. As they win the draft lottery, it was conducted at McCormick Place Convention Center in Chicago. There, the Hawks again with the first overall pick. The draft will be Wednesday, June 26th, the Barclays Center for the first round, and they're moving second round to Thursday, June 27th. So that's I don't think they've ever done that before this year. I think that's new that they're having the draft in two. I don't know if it's necessary to be completely honest with you, but whatever. The number two pick went to the Washington Wizards. Houston gets the number three pick. The Spurs have the number four pick. And then Detroit, who actually had the worst record in the NBA, dropped all the way to number five. They've had their chance to have a number one pick. They continue to lose and lose and lose. And that's why you have the lottery, right? So you can't have a team that loses year after year after year. They have the worst record in the league and then always get the number one pick like the NFL does, right? That's why the lottery is in place. To make sure the teams are not tanking all the time. Again, the Hawks hitting jackpot despite just a 3% odds after finishing 10th in the Eastern Conference. They dropped their final six regular season games. They lost to the Bulls in the first round of that play-in tournament, so they were part of the lottery there. And General Manager Landry Fields says, it was a shock when I first saw that it was between us. It wasn't us between 10 and 12, and it launched us into the top four. I was like, all right, we've got a real shot at this thing. And the Hawks did get the number one pick. I've had a couple people asking me what I thought about how everything was going to turn out with the Spurs and who they might pick, since they know I'm a Spurs fan and I'm a 4-8. You got the foundation already there. You won the lottery, and one of the lotteries of all lotteries last year, getting Victor Wembanyama, who was a unanimous Rookie of the Year pick this year. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what they do, because they do have picks 4-8, and everybody's like, oh, you think they'd package him to get the number one pick? Here's my thought. Again, like I said, Alexander Sarr is who people would be talking about for the Spurs because he's from France, and so is Victor Wembanyama. You know, maybe some tie in there, connection there, connection with Tony Parker in the past from France, Boris Diaw from France in the past has played for the Spurs, and it makes sense, right? The Spurs going after international players, and especially from France, because they've had some success with those players, obviously. But for me, if I see the Spurs trade the 4-8 picks, I'm hoping they're trading for an actual human veteran body that's in the NBA right now that they can put in. I don't think they're going to trade both of those picks. I think they'll pick at four. There's a point guard, Nikola Topic. I think he's from Serbia, 6'6". I'd love a 6'6 point guard on my team in the NBA, that's for sure. And so if he would be there at four, that would work. And then you can trade. They've got assets, multiple assets moving forward in the draft in the future, kind of like the Thunder, right? Just a lot of picks piled up because of trades and shedding cap space and doing things of that nature and taking on trades for picks and all that, and taking on contracts just to eat them for the other team and get picks out of the deal as well. I mean, they've got a lot of picks. So for me, I'm hoping maybe that point guard will be there. They'll pick him and then build from there. But, you know, you got the spot, the main portion of that locked up with the draft of Wembanyama, and now you move forward and see what you can do. Nobody cares about the Spurs except for me, so I won't talk much more about it. But I did have people asking me that, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there in the NBA and who the number one pick will be. I'm not 100% sure on who that might be in the end, but we'll keep track of it. Again, the Atlanta Hawks get the number one pick in the NBA draft. Yeah, the Canucks picking up a win in Game 3 of the NHL semifinals in the Western Conference, winning over the Oilers in Edmonton 4-3. Also in the NHL, it was the Panthers, a 3-2 winning Game 4 over the Bruins in Boston to take a 3-1 lead. So that's an update on that. Tonight in the East, the Rangers have a chance to close out their series. They're up 3-1 over the Hurricanes. Game 5 in New York at 6 o'clock. And in the West, the Stars are up 2-1 on the Avalanche. Game 4 is at 8:30 tonight in Denver. So you can catch all that action in the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. I believe those games are on ESPN, but I want to make sure, before I actually say it out loud, make sure I've got it right. Games tonight, yep, Hurricanes Rangers, 6 o'clock on ESPN, Stars Avalanche, 8:30 on ESPN here tonight in Denver. So it's an update on the NHL playoffs. Finally here in the sports ticket, the Kansas City, this came out early this morning. The Chiefs know who they're playing to start the regular season. And when you win a Super Bowl, it's pretty standard to play the opening night primetime Thursday night game, and it's pretty standard to have that at your home field. And that will be the case for the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium on September 5th, Thursday Night Football on NBC. The opponent, the Baltimore Ravens, a rematch of the AFC Championship game. Looking forward to that and seeing the Chiefs and Ravens open out the 2024 season. I know that there was one other game announced, and we'll get to that here momentarily, but the Chiefs and Ravens will open out there. Be a 7:20 kick. It is on NBC, so don't worry. You don't have to get Peacock to watch the game. It'll be on NBC. Lamar versus Mahomes to kick off the 2024 season. That's it. We keep riding that promotion, right? Just the quarterbacks are the only players on the team. It'll be interesting to see this game, though, obviously, to open out the season. There'll be overreactions if things don't go the right way. So, yeah, Chiefs opening with the Ravens at home. Stage is set, is what the Chiefs says. Chiefs Twitter says. They're in week one. There was another game that's happening on Friday night that week in the season opener. I got to find that. I saw a tweet. I should have bookmarked it. Full schedule, by the way, is going to be released Wednesday on NFL Network at 7 o'clock, so you'll know who, where, when, what time, what network on some of those cases, where everything's going to be played. Adam Schefter, Friday, September 6th is the Packers-Eagles in Sao Paulo, Brazil. So, not like we don't have enough going on Friday night, right? Let's Friday, September 6th, pretty sure is the first week of high school football in Kansas. I don't think there's a game on that last Friday of August. I'm pretty sure September 6th is the opening night of high school football. So, yeah, fun. Awesome. Probably going to be some college football games that night, too. Why not move the NFL to Friday night, too, right? Let's play every night of the week. Let's play a game. Let's go. Let's mess up schedules and weeks for all these teams and talk about how much we care about player safety to give them rest and time off and all that good stuff. But let's play on a Friday after a team played on a Sunday. Well, this is not going to be the case here. This is the first game of the year. There'll be plenty of time off between the last preseason game and the first regular season game. But you get my point, right? Like, you're talking about all this stuff. All you care about is the dollar. What are you going to make off of this from a TV contract or whatever? Fans, I'm going to promise you this. Sao Paulo game is not going to be sold out. So they're putting that on Friday for the TV sets and the dollars that that's going to generate in marketing for the NFL. It's pretty obvious. But, again, we can complain about it until the cows come home, as the old expression used to be, or we can complain about it until we're blue in the face. Not going to matter. They're going to do what they want to do. They're going to do it how they do it, whether it's NFL, college football nowadays, obviously is a big business as well, especially with NIL and all that that's going on in transfer portal. Everything is going on. It's a business, and it's a business that, quite frankly, doesn't really care about what their consumers are doing on a Friday night in Kansas. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, NFL Friday, September 6th, Packers, Eagles, in Sao Paulo. But the season will start on September 5th in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium. The Ravens at the Chiefs. We'll see what happens in the rematch of the AFC Championship game. I'm not even going to read that. Anyway. So, NFL season schedule, again, coming out on Wednesday, the full schedule. 7 o'clock should be on NFL Network is where they usually have that and release all that. So, we'll keep track of that, and we'll chat about it coming up later this week, more than likely, and see what the Chiefs schedule looks like. I know we went long today, but again, that time was reserved for Mr. Nick Lynn. And congratulations to Nick, and we wish him nothing but the best in his retirement there at Smith Center, and hopefully he can enjoy the grandkids. You know, that's something that's come up with some a few of the coaches that have decided to step down here in the spring is family, you know. And you can't fault anybody for wanting to have more time with family. Nick's been doing this for so long that he earn the right to go out on his own terms. There's no question about that. So, again, congratulations to Nick on a fine coaching career of 38 years overall and 35 at Smith Center. We've loved every minute of it, and I've loved every minute of having the opportunity to speak with Nick. And you know, we just like I said with Coach Grauerholtz last week, Nick and I have had a lot of conversations off the air that have been so much fun, and just to pick the brain of somebody that's been doing it that long. And also to, you know, complain about some things that might not be going the right way sometimes. So, again, I appreciate all of Nick's time over the last, well, however many years, like I said, I've been doing probably about 18 years. We've been doing locker room chats. And I know that Smith Center appreciates his time for 35 years, or else he wouldn't have lasted that long there. Again, those breeds are running out as far as the having 10 years and careers that last that long as a coach with all the outside stuff that's involved in that as well. So congrats to Nick on an outstanding career. Thanks to everybody for listening to me chat a little bit about Nick today. Hopefully you have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow on Waterside Wake Up.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.